All right, guys. As with the last episode I was on, we're trying to clean up the podcast, you know. So step one, instead of ass, say buns.
The fuck you talking about?
Step two, instead of shit, say poo. Step three, with bitch, drop the T, because bic is Latin for generosity. Step four, don't say fuck anymore. Just use the word mk. All right.
Okay.
Are we just resorting to making South Park jokes now? Is that what we're slumped okay. to? Fuck you. No, we're not.
No, guys, we're cleaning up the language in the podcast. Those are what you replace
what are you,
naughty yeah. words with. Okay.
Okay.
Jeffrey, I can't believe you just said that to me.
Yeah.
MKU, MKing idiot.
All right, guys, this is some bullcrap. Right, let's go ahead and get started.
Hello, and welcome to the Common Geeking Program, a book club or common reading program for geek culture. Each episode, we select a topic that four people will discuss from their own geeky, nerdy perspectives. Joining me in this episode are...
I can't tell if he's actually speeding up or not.
Yeah, I can't tell if he's actually talking like William Shatner or if that's just us. Four people from their own geeky, nerdy perspectives. This week, joining me are...
Hello, dear listeners. My name is Edward Ryan.
I vote that your name is Laura.
Your Lord and Savior. And today, I will be repping the web series Ruby.
So, Ijv.
What a well thought out response. Hi.
Fuck yourself.
I think you mean go mk yourself, okay?
I apologize, Jeffrey, for my language. Go mk yourself.
Okay. Right.
Hi, I'm...
Yeah, you bitch.
Hi, I'm Jeff. Jeff Levitt, and I'm going to be representing the Nuzlocke comics.
I don't know what's happening. I'm just going to keep going. Hi, I'm Laura.
No one does. Yep.
And this week, I will be representing Katana Comics.
Hey, you. I don't know what that is.
Nice. No one does.
I'll tell you all about it.
And I'm your host, Keenan Kodish. For this episode's topic, I've selected the webcomic Dark Science by Dresden Kodex, I believe, or Kodak.
It sounds like Kodak.
What I kind of want to focus on is web-based content and how that affects the medium, how the medium of web affects media and whatnot. Shut up. You're laughing at me like I know what you guys are laughing at.
What are we laughing at? I wasn't paying attention.
Keenan was stumbling over his words.
Shut up. I hate all of you. Anyway, so Dark Science is actually a comic that you kind of come in halfway through because the guy has a whole bunch of other material that he wrote and did before Dark Science. Dark Science is just his most current storyline. It's the most advanced art style, so I wanted you to start with that.
We're only talking about the first chapter, right?
Yeah, we're only talking about the first... Like the first chapter book or whatever he calls it.
Do his other storylines take place in the same world or it's just he's made other comics?
They're actually about the same girl, Kimiko Ross.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it's the art style is a lot more primitive as like a lot of web comics.
Yeah, Nuzlocke is a good example of that.
Jeffrey, it's not time for domains yet, okay? It looked nice.
Yeah, right. It was so pretty. I love the way it flows from panel to panel because it's really organic, and I think that's really cool.
Yeah, she is a cyborg.
That's irony, right there.
What's ironic?
That the art style is organic, and she's a cyborg. Yeah. That's irony. Definitely intentional. They didn't just want to make it pretty or anything.
Yeah,
irony is also ironic because she's made of metal.
Red versus God. Make your own jokes.
I mean, couldn't even laugh at that one.
Eddie, real quick, do you think you can give me a basic premise, like a synopsis, if you can, of like what we read?
I mean, I could also do that if you need it.
Well, you know what, Laura? You weren't asked because Keenan's a sexist. So I'm going to go first.
Brutal, poo on everyone.
All of you can say it. It's not... I didn't make it based on sex. He's just in my top left-hand corner. No!
Eddie is also in my top left-hand corner.
Whoa, that can't be a coincidence.
That's irony right there.
Hello, it's me, Mr. Top Left-Hand Corner.
I'm gonna move him to make that not true anymore. Oh, shit. I tried to move him, and I accidentally made him the whole screen.
I guess that's where you belong.
So, basically, Kim, She's on a train going to Nephilopolis, which is a city.
Is that what it's called?
And a dude steals her bag and jumps out the window because some dude, because he's like a stowaway, I think.
He didn't even file with the Department of Loot and Plunder.
Yeah, and she meets two other characters whose names I recall.
I believe you when you say that.
One of them starts with a V. Is like VZ or Voozy?
Vonnie.
Vonnie. I don't know. Yeah, she's like, Vinny.
Vonnie, Vizzy, that's right.
Vonnie.
Yeah,
okay, so her name's Vonnie. And Vonnie is like, hey, we can get you a job and stuff. And Kim's like, nah, I'm going to go work for the science people.
She told Kim that she's going to register her as a minivan.
a mid-sized sedan to avoid customs.
A mid-sized sedan, yeah. And so Kim goes and applies to work at science. And science is like, no. And she hits the appeal button. And then this was the part I think I enjoyed the most, was she gets sent down the appeals chute. Like a trap door opens up. And
oh, my God. Yes, the appeals process.
And then the scientists are like,
we don't believe
are like,
her because...
Oh, it looks like someone hit the appeal button.
Debating whether or not it happened.
And out of like hundreds of rejections, this is the only time the appeal button has ever seemed to have been pressed. So it's only logical to conclude that it wasn't pressed at all. And she was like, but I'm right here. And they were like, clearly you don't exist because science.
We cannot say definitively anything anymore.
You're probably a weather balloon.
Because Bill has the highest credibility rating.
And Bill says she's a weather balloon.
And then a dude approaches her and he's like, hey, fuck those guys. You should come join the dark science guys. We're like regular science. But dark.
Malthus Melchior.
And then he throws an old woman off a cliff for some reason.
That's irony right there.
He's the Department of Opposition. He has to oppose.
And then we see like some flashbacks of her dad. And then she meets the guy who stole her bag. And he's like, here's your bag back. The end.
Okay, I have some stuff to add to that.
Oh, that's right.
I thought that was like top notch.
I think the things I would like to add, first of all, the glimpse that we get of her old life is that she was previously working for this author who, like, is writing a bunch of abridged versions of Shakespeare stories that he's never read.
Oh, no, he's making movies, Jeffrey.
She wants to use the science of making people turn in their graves as a form of energy.
I did like it a lot.
Oh, I forgot about that. You are correct.
Yeah, he adapts the idea of them.
But then she goes broke because no one wants to read her story.
None of the titles make any sense. Like, David Copperfield is about the magician that is David Copperfield and not about David Copperfield, the book. A Farewell to Arms is about a guy without any arms.
That's irony right there. So anyway, the other important part, I think, is that the city that she's going to is like this big tech city that was basically...
Nephilopolis.
Yeah, it was founded by her father.
Nephilopolis.
Science technology man. Yeah. And he's pretty famous, and not anyone really knows that she's his daughter.
I couldn't tell she was intentionally keeping... I mean, it didn't seem like she wanted to tell people about it, but I couldn't tell she was like hiding
she's
it.
She's intentionally you know? Keeping
Bonnie
it.
Bonnie was like, if you tell them that he's your dad, then they'll let you into the science place. She was like, no, I gotta do it on my own.
No, that was the man with the hat who said that to her.
Oh, that yeah. That guy? Yeah.
Melchior.
One of my favorite moments was after she gets rejected from the appeals. She overhears somebody talking, and they're like, did you hear that a weather balloon appealed for a decision? They were. Someone else was like, oh, I heard that it was a mid-sized sedan. Yeah. And you just see her face like...
So sedan.
And it just totally hit me the right way. Like, I just thought it was hilarious.
The mid-sized sedan was just like the perfect yeah. level of specificity to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
My favorite moment was... Matthias Melchior, who's the head of Department of Opposition.
He's the guy with the hat.
When he approaches
Isn't
her.
Melchior?
Yeah, he's the guy with the hat. Mm. And he just actively is just being a piece of shit, opposing things, like throwing the old lady, he's chipping guys down shit.
What's the name Melchior from?
Isn't it like an angel?
The Bible.
Oh, that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah. It's one of the three wise men.
What's that thing
it goes,
that it's from?
That's the Bible? That's, wait. I'm going to rep the Bible this
episode. It's Balthazar, Melchior, and Caspar.
That's irony right there.
Well, actually, that wouldn't be a bad idea to rep the Bible. Bro.
Isn't there someone in Lord of the... Isn't there someone in the fucking Silmarillion whose name... Or is that Melkor?
Melkor, yeah.
It's, yeah.
That's similar. Close.
There's no I.
Yeah.
What Melkor can see... It...
God, shut dad the jokes. Fuck God,
go
hard.
Home, Chowder.
It's so hard.
This is one of my favorite webcomics that I've ever read, and I just I thought it'd be perfect to show you guys. And I hope.
Oh, she's a cyborg. I don't know if we mentioned that.
I said she's a cyborg. It was ironic, remember?
Oh yeah, it was ironic.
Fuck. I mean,
well,
okay.
It's hard to argue with that logic.
Maybe we should transition.
For the listeners, that was Laura, since you have no way of knowing that.
It was.
Laura, yeah. You're my hero.
Ruby.
I mean, as with a lot of these kind of webcomic things, I'm a little bit annoyed about how all the women are drawn, but otherwise...
How were the women drawn?
I don't know. There's just, like, one body type, and it's, like, you know, the fucking skinny-ass anime huge titties.
I guess I didn't notice.
Well, I could say a lot of stuff about that.
I think the only place that I really noticed that was when she... There was one panel in particular when she's, like... getting dressed or something, and she's just like standing there in her underwear with your back to you, and like part of that is that you can see her roboticism, but like a lot of it also just felt really unnecessary, so that's I feel like, you know, there, but for the most part I didn't have an issue with it.
I was mostly annoyed at Vanya, honestly, but it's also it's not like a thing against this, like that's not unusual at all,
right?
It's just something that I see too often. To be loved by
one thing that I liked about it is that they would switch between colors and black and white panels depending on what kind of the story was going on, and I thought that actually really, I mean, it's still mostly like dark toned, but they at least have color, so I liked that. I enjoyed that a lot.
I thought that was good too.
One thing that I had a harder time with the style though was that it felt, and maybe this is just because I don't read a lot of webcomics, I had a hard time like reading it in the right order. Like, because each of the panels were like 75 panels and it was a little hard.
Some of the text bubbles, especially towards the beginning, not all the text fit in the bubble, so like we didn't get the beginnings and endings of some sentences, and towards the beginning when it was happening I was like, oh okay, this is supposed to be like she's not fully listening because clearly she's like looking out the window and thinking of her dad and stuff, and so this is all she's hearing, and I really liked it, but then it happened later at a couple points where I thought like, now it feels like we're just like not getting information, and it was weird.
I think you were right on the first one. Like, all the times that I saw it, it seemed like it was someone who was rambling and, like, the other person wasn't listening.
They're going on, or that they simply didn't hear.
Yeah, just, it was, to me, that was clear at the beginning, but it got a little muddled.
Eddie, maybe that was intentional. Maybe it was supposed to be that she wasn't, like, she should have been paying attention to that information, but she wasn't at that moment because she was thinking about something else. And so she's lacking important information that we as readers are also lacking. Or am I just giving them way too much credit?
I'm trying to find the later instance of it.
Yeah, sure. I want to talk about web-based content because I think... What? Did I not? Oh, I thought I was going to say...
No, it was really laggy. Lag. It was really laggy.
Oh, okay. Well, basically...
holy poo!
Because web-based... It's so... I hate you guys so much.
Just ignore us.
Shut that MK up, okay?
It's clearly lagging. Just ignore us.
Well, I think it's a really good example of a web content because, one, it's really high quality, in my opinion, writing. And there's some things that I want to like discuss about it in relation to web-based content that I think I'll bring up more into the discussion, such as its release schedule. I'm really, like, I'm interested to talk to you guys about that. But I just think that when you do something on the web, it changes... Maybe. I just want to know your opinions on how it affects the content.
Yeah, I'll talk about that in the discussion.
Groovy.
Cool. Laura's just like, I'm not straying outside of our lines. Fuck you.
Well, I feel like if I talk about that now, I won't have anything else to say.
Yeah, for sure. No, that,
we'll move on now to the domains. Eddie, tell us more about Ruby, which you've had as your option this whole time.
All right, hey, so like I said earlier, today I'm going to be repping Ruby, the web series. It's an animated web series produced by Rooster Teeth, the makers of Red vs. Blue and other things. It was created by Monty Ohm. He was a cool dude.
He was a cool dude.
He was a really cool dude. It's sad that he is no longer with us. But Ruby, right, it takes place in a world called Remnant, and in that world, there's all these monsters called the Grimm. There's a whole bunch of crazy monsters that are animal-like in nature. There's a dragon one in one of the season finales. It's a big dragon, and they're like, oh, shit. So Ruby takes place at a school called Beacon Academy in the city of Beacon, or Kingdom of Beacon. It's a city kingdom. It's like a city state, like in Greece. But
yeah,
not like
I thought
Greece.
The kingdom was Vale.
Anyway, I thought Vale was a different kingdom. Okay, all right, listeners and Colin, pretend I know the lore better. All right, we're going to keep going. So it takes place at Beacon Academy, and there's all these students training to be hunters and huntresses. And what they do is they protect people from the Grimm, and they hunt them.
Because
the
Grimm
are
a lot
bad
like
and evil,
Soul Eater.
And people are good. Well, not all people, as you come to find out. So the main character we follow is named Ruby.
Uh-huh.
But the show is not named after her. Because her name is R-U-B-Y.
Like you would spell Ruby.
And the show is R-W-B-Y.
Like Ruby, as in the show it's named after.
So all the students that are entering, they do these exams and stuff. And then afterwards, if they had failed the exams, they'd get kicked out. But they didn't, because they're the characters in the show. So they do the exams, and then they get put on teams. And Ruby, our main character, she gets put on a team with some characters named Weiss, Blake, and Yang. Yang is Ruby's sister. She's also cool. They're all pretty cool.
This is starting to sound a lot less like Soul Eater.
And so the teams, they all train together, they go to school together, and they're learning to be hunters and huntresses. That's kind of the main premise, and then a lot of stuff happens. There's like some bad guys who want to like unleash Grimm and hurt people and like steal stuff and get money and power. And, you know, they try to fight those bad guys, but they're just, like, students, and these bad guys are professional bad guys.
Starting to sound more like Soul Eater again.
Yeah, so, anyway, that's kind of the main premise. It's really cool. I definitely recommend you check it out after you, you know, check out Dark Science.
Dark Science. Robots in disguise.
So, basically, Keenan had told us the topic of today was going to be, like, web content. So I brought Ruby because it is web content, but I think it is a little unique because while compared to any like cable TV network or anything, Rooster Teeth is very small. Compared to a lot of web creators, Rooster Teeth is very big. So yeah. They have a lot more money to put in production and a lot more people. So they can,
because Red vs. Blue is fucking popular, man.
It is popular. So they can put out episodes and content at a different rate and quality than a lot of web content producers. So I think it'll be a nice point of comparison and contrast with some of the other stuff we talk about. And that's Ruby.
Nice.
Cool. For sure.
Oh, and the team is named Ruby, R-W-B-Y, because those are the letters their names start with. Okay, now I'm done.
Uh-huh. And does the R start with
the R stands
for
Ruby?
Nah, it stands for Blake.
So she's just like, what if we named our team Ruby? It almost works out, and I'll be the leader.
Anyway, next, let us move on to Herr Jeffrey, who
that's
I'm
me.
Sure has interesting things to say about his
I
domain.
Do, I do indeed.
What?
This week, I am representing Nuzlocke Comics, which I guess its official title is Pokemon Ruby Hard Mode.
So just the Ruby comic, then?
No, I am representing the entirety of Nuzlocke Comics, but it's not that much after that. These are a series of comics that started in around 2004, I believe. And it's what a popular play mode for Pokemon is based off of, called the Nuzlocke Challenge, which is basically a harder version to play the Pokemon games, where if your Pokemon faints in battle, you have to treat it like it's dead, and you have to catch the first thing in each region and nothing else. And that's
brutal.
The most I'll dwell on that.
And it's a set of self-imposed rules.
Yeah, they're self-imposed rules. And those rules are based off of this comic.
Great comic.
And the reason it's called that is because in 2004, the comic coming out coincides with the airing of the last season of Lost. And the creator of the comic was a big fan and left a lot of Lost references in there. And by left a lot of Lost references, I mean usually the comic is like stick figures, but every once in a while, one of them will just have a super realistically drawn face of someone in the show and make a direct quote. So his
that's true.
The first Pokemon that he catches after his starter is a Seedot, which evolves into a Nuzleaf, and Nuzlocke, who gives a lot of John Locke like advice.
He named it Nuzlocke.
Anyway, it's kind of an interesting comic because the actual plot of it is basically just the plot of the Pokemon game, Pokemon Ruby, right? But then he, you know, he kind of revises it and twists what the characters are saying to make it funny. And then also has these like dramatic scenes where one of his Pokemon quote unquote dies, right? But, you know, in the game, it actually just fainted.
Why you put quotes around dies as if they didn't die?
What?
I said, why'd you put quotes around die? In the plot, they fucking die.
Yeah, in the plot, they die. They die like a lot.
Is it brutal? Like, is it graphic?
it gets pretty brutal, yeah. And it's always like really dramatic, and sometimes the deaths are like also Lost references, because a lot of the characters in Lost die as well. Spoiler alert.
God, I really want to read this now.
So this is just Pokemon Lost.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's really...
The Nuzlost challenge.
Yeah, it's a really interesting comic, I think, because, like, especially, you know, with Dark Science, you can see that the writer has done work prior to this, because it's pretty swanky right off the bat. But Nuzlocke, the Nuzlocke comics start off, like, straight up stick figures. And then, by the end of it, he's kind of gotten better ability to draw, but... It's kind of funny because to keep consistency with his main character, like all the other characters in the later comics will have like well detailed faces, but his main character, who's the same guy from the first one, will still just have like a round circle face. It's pretty funny actually, because it starts to look pretty creepy as everyone else gets more realistic.
Nice.
That's classic. Reminds me of One Punch Man.
Yeah, pretty. So the last one. It they're not dated, but it released kind of recently, because I checked like a year ago and it was like still the same page that I ended on 3 years ago. So it really does not release that often. So it went through Ruby, and then he did Fire Red, I believe, and then he's doing Pokemon White. That's what it's still on, is Pokemon White. The basic plot is just the plot of Pokemon. So, you know, he's going and battling gyms and he's trying to defeat the Elite Four. But that's, I don't know. I thought it would be an interesting comparison, because you can kind of see the progression of it a little bit more compared to Dark Science, which starts off being kind of on top of its shit already. Yeah.
Quite. That was a good choice there, Jeffrey. Next, Laura.
That's me.
Oh my god, it's Laura.
Anyway, so this week I am representing Katana Comics, which I have to admit is something that I fairly recently started watching is not really the right word. Reading, I guess, is probably better.
Yeah, you read comics, yeah.
You read comics. There are words on there.
But they also have pictures, so you kind of watch them.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. You just don't. You kind of look at them. Watching implies that there's things changing, right?
True.
Well, you could watch it if you're just like staring at it.
you
is that still
watch.
Looking at? Do we need to talk about the semantics of look at versus watch?
No. Well, here's, you could watch a wall. It's not going to change.
But I think you're just looking at it. I don't think you're watching it.
You no, can watch paint dry it. Because think, that does change.
I think watching implies an activeness on the viewer's part.
No, I
reading
think
is
watching
active.
Implies looking at something as though it's going to change. You know what I mean? So,
right.
Like, you could watch a wall, but you'd be an idiot for doing that, because it's probably not going to change. But
That's
you're
true.
Expecting it to change, you'd be watching it.
Watch, verb. To look at or observe intently, typically over a period of time.
Here, I'll end the argument. I think watch implies a circular device on your wrist that tells time.
Okay, thanks. All right. So I started following Katana Comics fairly recently. It is a comic about a girl and her boyfriend. And this is pretty different from any of the other domains and the theme that were brought today, because it's not really like a story. There's no plot to follow.
Story of my life.
It's a pretty simple comic. It's usually like between 2 and 4 panels per comic. And it's a girl and her boyfriend is like doing life stuff.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about, actually.
So there's one that the panel is stressed dog, and there's a dog, and it says, like, use a thunder jacket, and it has the dog with a thunder jacket, and it's all excited. And it goes, stressed girlfriend, and it has a picture, like a drawing of the girlfriend, and it goes, use the thunder boyfriend, and her boyfriend is hugging her from behind.
The guy looks like he's got, like, a weird comb over, though. Just, like, the design
yeah.
of it. It's like his True. Beard and his hair, because they don't have ears. It just like wraps around his eye. Yeah,
right.
It's really weird.
There's one that I really like. They're both sitting on opposite ends of the couch, like watching TV or something, and she gets a little bit closer and gets a little bit closer and gets a little bit closer, and then like is literally on top of him, and then he starts rubbing her shoulder and she's like, I love when you give me surprise shoulder rubs. It's super simplistic in its design. So it's all like a gray and white and black. Their faces are perfectly circular and they have this like gigantic eyes that are like almost half of the size of their face. So it's just one of those things that's like really cute. And it's just something that like I don't follow that many things like webcomics or web series. It's just not something that I actively look for.
Word.
And that's something that I like about Katana Comics because I don't have to actively look for it anymore. It just shows up in my Instagram feed because I follow her.
That's fine.
And so because of that, it's probably the most consistent web content that I have any interaction with. Also, I think it's just kind of adorable.
Yeah.
Now, what does it have to do with katanas?
So the girl who creates it is named Katana.
It's irony right there.
Boyfriend's name is John.
It's Katana with a C, not a K. I typed in Katana with a K, and I just got a bunch of stuff about, you know, the superhero Katana.
The DC character.
Yeah, the DC
character. Ah.
She's cool.
She's cool. Not the same thing, though.
I was trying to find out like when this was first created, and I couldn't really find anything super specific about when it began, but her first Instagram post is from December 1st of 2016.
Yeah, I found on her comic, the first comic was posted on November 30th of 2016.
Yeah, so it sounds like it might have started just around then.
Yeah.
I could be super wrong about that though, so feel free to correct me. One thing about web content also is that there's no like release date, like, you know, TV and even Netflix like have pretty structured release. So it's not like completely consistent, but it seems like she's coming out with one like every couple of days.
Which is kind of the nice thing. Yeah. The nice thing about the simplicity of style, right? It's just like, yeah, it could be fancier, but to get the message across that she wants to, it doesn't have to be. And if it's not, then she can, you know, churn out a lot more.
Yeah. On her Instagram, her description of this comic is comics of me and my bearded boyfriend doing things. And that's, I think, a pretty apt description of what the comic is.
Do you think that that fucking snickering, you pieces of shit? Okay, do you think that releasing your content on the web changes the content in any way? Do you think the format affects the content? Because, at least for me, I know that, like, with webcomics, it can kind of, you know, be really weird in terms of release. Jeffrey has a hand up, because we're back in fifth grade. Levitt, what have you to say?
I think that, like, on the one hand, you're right. It doesn't have to have quite as a scheduled release, you know? It's basically just when the content creator makes it and decides to put it up. So that can be something that's pretty frustrating, but it also means that, you know, it can go a little bit faster than a normal release schedule.
They're not pushing a schedule. Like, they can take the time to really create the content the way they want to in the best possible light.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't have to, like, I know that, like, not every piece of media out there is, like, censored and kind of, like, restricted by, like, organizations and stuff. But with this kind of web content, like, you really know that it's not. Like, this is straight out of the artist's mind, you know? Like, they might take feedback from fans, but ultimately it seems a little bit more pure in that way because it's not going through a corporate kind of lens like that.
Yeah, no, as
Yeah, I think I can agree with that because... Oh, Eddie says...
Yeah, no, as of right now, the internet is still, like, the wild, wild west, you know? He's lagging real bad, or he's interrupting me. I assume it's the lag. But yeah, the internet's still like the wild, wild west, you know, people can just do whatever they want, you know, and that's really cool.
I mean, in America,
listeners, just so you know, the wild, wild west,
the internet was not yet restricted by the government and corporations.
Was a time in America when
we could still say and do whatever we wanted without fear of persecution.
Rapid of expansion, which created a time of lawlessness.
There was a website called 4chan. Anyway, no. So, like, people can still do whatever they want, which is cool. But to answer Keenan's question, I think it definitely does affect the content that comes out. To jump off what Jeff was saying, that it does give creators basically unlimited time to make their content, And this can be good and bad. It can be good that, like, what they release generally will be what they wanted to release. You know, it won't be a rushed version or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, art is never finished.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of times that rings true.
Yeah.
Especially with web content when it gets popular. The creators will start to try harder and such. It'll get better, but it'll take way longer to come out because they want it to be perfect for this now growing, burgeoning audience.
But you also have things like Red versus Blue where the creators have been like, yeah, I mean, if it's popular, we're just going to keep doing it until it's no longer popular. So it just is going to keep going on, like, pretty much endlessly, yeah. Maybe.
Which also can be a bad thing sometimes.
Yeah, not necessarily a bad thing, but could be.
Because of that purity that we've been discussing, that the artists can just kind of create what they do, I think it makes a weirdly more loyal fan base than, say, TV, because it's understanding, because if they don't produce for a little bit, I mean, if you wait too long, you're going to lose fans. But for Dark Sides, it hadn't updated in, like, a few months. And I kept checking with it because I knew that, you know, he's not getting paid exorbitant amounts of money. So, like, there's some leeway. And also, when something does come out, I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason that I don't consume that much web content. Like, if it's not on a schedule, I forget about it. You know, I just don't pay attention. I have so much going on that I forget to follow things.
Yeah.
I will say, yeah.
What I will say,
if it takes too long, you know, frankly, it's, I've stopped things. I've also interrupted Eddie just now.
Just now? You mean like 5 seconds ago?
But I agree with you that if it takes too long, you alienate your base a little bit. And I've definitely stopped reading some webcomics because it just took them so long. And like, I've stopped like consuming some web sources just because like, frankly, it's like, no. Enough.
It's like you have to backlog it for a couple years and then remember it again.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think an interesting thing about that, though, and it depends on the kind of content, but something that you can do on the internet that you can't do, you know, with TV or something, is say it's like a YouTube channel. You can subscribe to it, right? And then if they don't upload for a long time, you don't get a notification because there's no upload. And then when they do, months later, an episode of Dragon Ball Z Abridged, it pops up on your YouTube, and you go, oh my goodness, and then you can watch it. And it didn't take any effort of checking throughout that time. And I think content where you can have some kind of feed or notification, or even if it's a web, even if it's like a web comic, you can put it in like an RSS feed or something if you want to go through that effort.
That's a really good point. Podcasts are like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Instead of having to go back and check and get that kind of fatigue, you can just wait, you know?
Yeah, because I think going off of that, Eddie, with like that kind of shit makes sense with like YouTube videos and things that are like, oh, it's all stuff by the same creator, but they're all kind of like one-off things. But if it's something like a webcomic where you're waiting to hear the continuation of a story.
Oh my god, it's like the fucking Song and Ice and Fire books.
Yeah,
what is it? I've been waiting 6 years for Dances with Dragons?
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, go ahead.
And then the point I was going to make.
Hashtag Half-Life 3.
Jeffrey, continue.
I was going to briefly go back to talking about loyalty in a fan base and how that applies to things like webcomics and internet media more than like TV shows. Because it's like, on the one hand, they usually have a much smaller fan base. But since the fan base is so much smaller, it also kind of allows for the loyalty to be sort of more...
it feels more like a community.
If you've got a pretty small fan base... The creators are definitely going to listen to feedback a lot more than if it's some big popular thing where they get like thousands and thousands of messages every day.
Cool.
So the point that I forgot and then remembered, I think an important thing with non-scheduled web content is just like communication with the people who partake in the content. So I've had like things that I've like watched or read or whatever that had long gaps between releases. But in those long gaps, you would get, you know, updates and stuff. Like, hey, you know, I know it's been X amount of time, but we're still working on it. Thanks for, you know, keeping us in your minds or whatever. You know, just stuff like that. I think really helps to keep people interested and keep them waiting. Whereas I've also... There was a webcomic I was reading that, like, there was a huge amount of time between releases at one point, and there was no communication from the
community, yeah.
No updates. And so after a while, I stopped checking.
Well, and there's so much other content to consume that if something falls off the edge, you're just, there's no point in going back almost. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think communication is a really big thing. So if we ever stop uploading, we got to keep posting on Facebook.
So that's, yeah, like that's definitely something that I experienced with Nuzlocke comics, because like when I first discovered them, which was about, 3 years ago, right? I read through all of the original part and then the new series, right? And then it stopped, right? And I was just like, oh, okay. It, the things weren't dated, so I had no idea when the last time it came out was. So then, like, you know, I checked every once in a while and I sort of forgot about it because it had been such a long time since they uploaded. And then I checked like 3 years ago, or not, sorry. It started 3 years ago, and then I checked like last year, so it had been like a couple years, and it was still the same damn page, and I was just like, seriously? And then a couple days ago, when I went to go check to reread the comic a little bit just to refamiliarize myself for this podcast, right, there were three new pages, and I was just like, oh shit, and I read them all, and I was just like, well, okay, starts the wait again.
That was three good pages. Yeah.
Now I've read that.
So maybe he's back again, but I don't know.
That was something I appreciated about Dark Science, is that each page was like a comic length page, like a traditional comic length page, rather than like a lot of webcomics where like you're waiting months for like four panels. So Dark Science, I'm clearly not actively following it, but for the people who are, it must be nice when there's a release because you're not getting nothing.
Well, I feel like when it comes
when
it comes to web stuff like that, it's really important for the artist or anyone producing this to make the update worthwhile. And I think things like Ruby, and I don't know enough about Katana comics, but like Nuzlocke sounds like it, and so does Dark, especially Dark Sides. Like, because since you only update every once in a while, you need to make it worth the wait. And I feel like that's something that sometimes, I don't know, web producers have to decide between. Either they can have those four panels that you have every week, or you can have, like, Dark Science, in which it's this really unique art style and this really cool, you know, thing that I can't even imagine how much time it must take to draw, like, each panel sometimes of Dark Science. So I think that's a decision you make when doing web content.
Yeah, I think...
Yeah, no, the art was good.
Yeah, no, I... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's probably some ratio that, like, Colin or Pat could figure out of, like, of how much, how worth it the release needs to be opposed to how long it is between releases.
No, I think that's a good point because, like, Dark Science, right, like, it may take a little while for it to come out, but it's a really good payoff, right? Like Eddie said, the pages were, like, full length. The art style is really nice. So people are willing to wait a little bit longer. But then if you compare that to something like...
Yeah, it advances the plot every page.
Yeah, if you compare that to something like the Katana comics, right, that's sort of in that same realm, just on the opposite spectrum, right? Like, the art style doesn't have to be super superb, and it's just, like, a couple panel thing, but it's updated, like, very frequently. And it's also not a story that necessarily needs to be updated because it's just like little one-off things. But then if you compare that to something like Nuzlocke, which has like a very, you know, like
totally agree
story-based thing, even the pages are pretty long, but hasn't released once in like 3 years,
wow,
it's not
poignant.
A lot of good payoff because even if there's a lot on the page, it's still a page. You know what I mean?
Yeah, one page for every 3 years doesn't quite seem worth it.
And I don't know about
one page more.
One page more. One more page.
Do you hear the people singing the song of angry fans?
It is the music of a people who won't check your site again.
Yes, all right, we're going to stop that right now before we... I don't want to be Russell Crowe for the rest of my life.
The song of
anyway.
Fans.
CGP featuring Russell Crowe.
Oh my god, we should do that.
I think I'm impressed by Ruby. It feels like a journey if you watch the progress of any sort of, like, you can kind of tell when they got, like, more money, they got more famous, or they dedicated more time. It's really fun to watch Ruby and go, man, there's an animation jump.
And you can see that with Red versus Blue, too.
But Red versus Blue is, I think, more like the progression that you see in, like, Nuzlocke, where it's the creator getting better.
Yeah, but budget.
Whereas, like, Ruby, obviously they're getting better as they go, but it's also just a dedication of more resources. In recent years, something that has been introduced to web creators is Patreon. Do you guys all know what that site is?
Patreon!
It's like a volunteer donation.
And so that's something that I think has helped to improve a lot of web content.
It's like a Kickstarter.
So a lot of times web creators will have like a day job. But if their thing becomes popular enough and their fans like it enough, they can. Patreon is basically a way for fans to support a creator or a series. So basically a creator can start a Patreon and be like, hey guys, if you want to donate to my Patreon, you can, but you don't have to. But if you do, you'll get rewards. It's kind of like a Kickstarter, but you know, over time. So it'll be like you'll donate $1 a month, you know? And if 1,000 people donate $1 a month, you get $1,000 a month. And that helps creators to spend more time creating, which lets them make better stuff more often.
So to kind of talk about Ruby for a bit too, it's kind of an interesting go-between because it releases in a TV type of format. So it has the virtues of that, but then it also has the virtues of being a relatively smaller thing. So having that smaller fan base and being able to get funded in ways like that and also be able to take feedback at a more manageable pace. Like Rooster Teeth is pretty big compared to a lot of the other things on the internet, like you said.
Yeah.
But it's still like nothing compared to TV.
Not even close. And Rooster Teeth for, you know, over a decade now, they've been doing like a member thing. So like you pay money on their website to support them and like get content early.
I am a subscriber to Maximum Fun, actually, which is a relatively new thing now. It's a podcast network, and I listen to a lot of podcasts these days, and they have like some of my absolute favorite podcasts on them. I spend 3 hours a day commuting, and then I have a desk job that I can listen to podcasts in, not all the time, but sometimes. So that's like up, you know, let's say on a busy day or a slow day, whatever you want to call it, I listen to 5 hours of podcasts at work. Like, I spend so much of my day listening to podcast content, and like, I'm finally in a place where, like, I can support them.
Be like Laura.
Like, I love the fact that I can give somebody money because they're doing something that they love that gives me so much entertainment.
Now, let us move on to the ratings. A time where we can reflect on the piece and decide if we actually liked it. Now, last time, I think I had the lowest rated episode in all of this program's history, and I hold that proudly. I'm not ashamed. Anyway.
It was even lower than Sonic.
It was the same as Sonic, but it got a lower singular score.
So, on a scale of 1 to 5 sciences,
oh,
that seems like a fitting measurement. What do you guys think? Let's go the order we've been going in, which is Eddie, Jeff, Lauren.
Now, Keenan, buddy, it hurts me a little bit to do this.
Pal.
Okay.
I'm going to give Dark Science 2 sciences.
You fascist.
Oh, no.
That's irony right there.
Lower than I was expecting.
What?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, wow, damn. Why?
I liked the art. And I appreciated it quite a bit. The art was very good. But I was very unengaged in the characters and the story and the style in which the story was being told. I also felt like...
I was unengaged in it. You could have just said it.
Well, I was a little engaged in the art style. And I suppose we did find this out when Jeff asked you this, but let me just clarify. So this... takes place in the same world as the other series that this person has made.
Yeah, it's you kind of like come in what's it called, modus operandi. No.
So I felt like there was a lot that I was supposed to know that I didn't, and that wasn't being told to me. So I didn't really have a sense of the world we were in or like the lore of it. All I knew was that there was a lot of like automation and stuff, and that it was boring, and that's kind of all I got. Like, I don't know why or how, and I don't know what the people or the world are like. And then with the characters we met, I guess I didn't get a great sense of their personality, except that the main character was kind of grumpy. So I'm gonna have to give it a 2. Maybe if I read a little bit more,
I would
I'll
say
enjoy it and I can change my rating, but with the first 18 pages that we read, which is like part one or whatever, I wasn't a fan. But the art was great.
I was rough. Next.
So I'm going to give Dark Science nice. A 4 out of 5 sciences. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I liked the art style. I thought a lot of the humor was pretty entertaining to me. And yeah, I agree that there was some stuff where I didn't know a lot about the world, but to me it kind of felt like I was going to get it in doses, which I feel like is kind of
Doom?
How a lot of these webcomics are. Like, that's kind of how Kill 6 Billion Demons was.
Basically.
If I had one complaint, it seemed like the whole joke with the civilization and the way everyone acts seems like it could get kind of old, but I don't know if that's a fair judgment to make without having continued.
Nice.
So I think I'm going to continue. So yeah, 4 out of 5 science.
Finally.
I am going to rate a 3 out of 5 sciences. I do think that the art style was really awesome. If you take anything away from this, it's that the art style is awesome of this.
Definitely go watch this comic.
Go watch it with your eyeballs and something will move. I don't know. I thought that the first panel was like very dissimilar to the rest of the panels and it didn't really make that much sense. And that was the first experience that you had with it. So jumping into the world felt very jarring. Like, I got it at the very end, but there was just so much content that didn't necessarily directly relate. Or like maybe there was too much content that related, but like it could have been done in like one panel instead of a little bit. And then on top of that, the orientation was incredibly hard for me to follow. Like, I didn't always know. Yeah, like I didn't really know where to start and where to end.
I'll agree with that sometimes.
Oh yeah, that was kind of annoying.
Especially on that first panel when it first kicked off like that. And like that was my introduction. It just kind of started a little bit lower. That being said, I also agree with Jeff. Like, the humor just hit me the right way. Like, I loved that they were calling her
Mid-sized sedan.
it was just such an offhanded comment that just like stuck. I'm probably not going to keep reading it for a lot of the reasons that we talked about, that I have issues with web content and where it can kind of struggle a little bit. But I'm glad that I did, and it was intriguing. It just, like, I don't know if it's enough to keep me like hooked going back, but it was good.
So I just want to say, based off of what Jeff and Laura said, maybe I just didn't get it. So I think I'm going to give it another shot.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't hurt to give it another shot, you know?
So now we will move on to the Golden Star Pupil Award in the form of the Golden Robot. Because, you know, there's robots in this.
There were robots.
The Golden Robot!
Yay!
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that not? Do you want something better?
How about the golden mid-sized
sedan?
Wait,
what do they call her?
Yeah. The golden weather balloon.
Ooh, that's good too.
So the golden weather balloon goes to Jeffrey.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Oh God. What an accomplishment to be in an episode with Eddie and Laura and
So, well, you are the underdog.
Oh, you think that he's just picking me as the underdog?
What? No, I wouldn't never do that.
Clearly, Laura and I are so good that we canceled each other out.
Go fuck yourself.
I was really close. Y'all kind of said some really good points. I think it was actually a pretty intelligent discussion we had, which is surprising considering this group.
Agreed. Well, I'd like to say, Jeffrey, I think you ran a good campaign. The voters showed what they wanted here today, and I am at the will of the people.
Fuck off! What the hell are you trying to give me a fucking acceptance speech when you didn't even win?
That about wraps it up. Again, I'm High Sheriff Keenan Kodish, and this week's topic was Dark Science and Web Content. You can check it out on DresdenKodak.com or just type in Dark Science webcomic. You should be able to find it on Google. Who's hosting the next episode, Holmes?
It's me. That episode, episode 29, is going to be on a game called Machinarium or Machinarium. I'm not entirely sure how it's pronounced. You can get that on as a mobile game for like $1, or you can get it on Steam for, I think it's like $10.
Before that episode airs, July 28th, if any of you listening want to contact us, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Geeking Program, or email us at commongeekingprogram@gmail.com. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave a review. It's a great way for more people to find the show. As is recommending us to friends. You know, tell people about us. Tell your friends, your family, your dog. We're trying to branch out into pets. If you want to know more, go to commongeekingprogram.com.
One more thing. If a person who is not a participant on this podcast shares one of our Facebook posts anywhere between episode 25 and 32, then their name will be entered into a raffle, and it can be entered in multiple times. So if you share all 8 episodes, then your name will be in 8 times. And the prize for this raffle is to pick a topic for one of the episodes in the next cycle.
This episode of the Common Geeking Program is hosted by Keenan Kodish. He was joined by Eddie Ryan, Jeff Levitt, and Laura Kramer. This episode is sponsored by Irony, because Jeff didn't know what I was going to do with that piece of audio. The podcast is created and produced by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Levitt, with this episode edited by 3 people. That's me, Colin Ketchin, Laura Kramer, and Austin Liebers. We all worked together, and original music by me. Now, don't forget, we're having a raffle. If you share an episode on Facebook, then we will enter you to pick a topic for a future episode. Otherwise, next week, we're going to be talking about Machinarium, so we hope you tune in there, and thank you for listening to this.
Wait a minute.
Someone was really early.
Gee, does Keenan have reverse lag?
Keenan, are you in the future?
I guess.
Yeah, wait a minute. Because you clapped, like, way before it even said...
Keenan,
wait a minute, I'm trying to figure out how that works right now. Wait, no, if I'm lagging, I'm not experiencing that lag, right? Wait a minute.
Keenan, for wait. Me, clapped at 48.
Yeah.
And then I clapped at 50, and then you guys clapped at 51. That was for me.
Right,
but for you guys.
But you can't...
Here's what must be happening. Keenan is on time.
No,
I'm lagging like
wait
2
a minute.
Seconds.
That's not how that works, though.
Like 3 seconds.
Wait a minute. His lag doesn't bring him into the future,
we're
though.
Further in the
He's
past.
Not in the
that's
future,
it.
Jeffrey.
I don't have lag.
But I'm not in the past.
You
no,
are
that doesn't
in the
make
past,
any sense.
Jeffrey, you're in the past.
No.
You need to stop living in the past.
Wait a minute. No, because this universal clock
guys,
said 4 minutes and 48 seconds when Keenan clapped.
Specific.
So it's I can't
read.
Experience the lag so that he's 2 seconds ahead of me. That's not how that works.
This is going to be the stinger at the end of this episode.
We have to refresh this page.
I don't have the time face. I have the stuff that has all the information.
But
it
is
tells
it...
me the date and the time and the weather, right,
so
and I have a timer.
Pick a card, any card.
Middle. Just the straight middle.
No, we're not doing this.
Okay. That's your
we're
card.
Not doing card okay, tricks on a fucking audio podcast. Right.
No, we can't trust you. Anyway.